You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to another episode of the All Systems Go podcast, where I interview founders and digital marketers to talk about software and systems to scale your small business. Your small business, enterprise, and or startup. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge, and I have a special guest. Today, Kadira Muhammad, and she is a systems implementation engineer. And that's why I said special, everyone. She's an engineer. So you already know what's about to go down in this episode. But she went from breaking into the entrepreneurial world at 18 with the goal of retiring her parents to falling in love with systems and automation that make true businesses world go round. Her notable project include taking clients two-person operation from 15K to 80K in revenue in 60 days. So if you're not doing the math, 2X of 15 is 30, 3X of 15 is 45, 4X is still under 80K. All right. So she over 4X'd. Just trying to put it in context for you all. Now Kadira helps solopreneurs and those with small teams create six-figure systems so that they can gain back their time freedom and lifestyle freedom and rekindle the joy of their business using systems, automation, and technology. Can you not see why I'm excited? And Kadira is going to come on and talk about some of the systems considerations that you must be aware of if you're going to achieve this level of success. We're talking back-end stuff today, some of the techie stuff for my founders. This is going to just inform you of what's going on behind the curtain. For my implementers, this may just give you the blueprint you are looking for. So Kadira, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much. Love that intro. I am excited to be here. Excited to be give this value to your audience.
Yes. So I'm going to just start this off by telling everybody I talked to Kadira like 30 minutes before recording, and I'm unapologetic. And here's why. Here's why. It's hard to find engineers that are entrepreneurs in this space. By the way, if you are one, reach out. But I believe firmly, my longtime listeners know this. I think that if you need a system built in your business, there is no one most better qualified than an engineer that's an entrepreneur. You can't prove me wrong. You can't. I'm sorry. It's not debatable. So you've got two entrepreneur engineers on this episode. And you all, if you're not familiar with my story, I don't know, maybe episode one or two of the podcast, I kind of detail that out. But Kadira, I want you to just explain to or reveal or help us understand how you got to where you are as an entrepreneur building out systems for small businesses and startups with the engineering background. How did you make the transition? What was it like? Did you always know, yeah, I'm doing this engineering thing, but it's coming to an end? How did you stumble upon this space?
Oh yeah. Oh my goodness. So that's got to bring me back to like actually my senior year in high school. I actually went to school to be a photographer. That's what I initially wanted to do. And then it was my first semester there and I took some class and I'm like, this just may not be for me. This just may not be where my talents are. And then I was on YouTube somewhere and I'm sure I saw some video about learning how to code and specifically being a front end developer. And then I kind of just focused everything in school to being in a front end developer engineer. I taught myself initially how to code HTML, CSS, I learned how to read JavaScript, be very specific. I can do a little bit, but I can't tell you I'm fluent in it. I learned C sharp. I thought I might be, maybe a backend engineer or even a full stack developer, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere around that, I actually fell in love more so with marketing and digital marketing, which changed a lot because that wasn't exactly what my major was. Mm-hmm. I studied in the College of Engineering. I graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Technology. Mm-hmm. And when I graduated, not actually before I graduated, I worked for quite a few different marketing firms in my local area. And I also used to work for New Balance in their St. Louis location, the corporate company. And so I graduated, or I'm about to graduate. I'm like, well, let me try marketing out. Let me just do something different. I just felt like I had a lot of opportunities at the time. Tried that. I had a good portfolio, if I do say so myself. Applied for a bunch of places. Nobody called me back. Nobody emailed me back. I'm like, what's going on?
I know the feeling.
I'm like, am I missing something? I don't know. Is it the Kadir Muhammad? I don't know. I'm like, okay, well, let me just try this myself. I felt like I didn't have anything to lose. So I just did it right when I graduated. I had like 3 months left on my lease at my apartment. And I'm like, well, we're going to ride this out. We're going to try it. And actually, I'm beginning clients, and I specifically was helping them with advertising. And that was going well. So I did that for 2 years. That, mind you, this is 2019. Now I'm fast forwarding to about 2021. Did it for 2 years, working with a lot of different entrepreneurs, from out of the gate startups that were just trying to get their feet wet. They didn't really understand, just helping them kind of create strategies, to a bit more established companies that have been around for, 10 plus years or so, kind of all the way in between. Mm-hmm. And in that is I started to fall in love with the puzzles. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about systems, engineering, even, coding, any of that, it's the puzzles that we love.
Yeah.
And Chris and I were actually just talking about that for a little bit about the love of puzzles. And my puzzle was helping these entrepreneurs stay organized and actually create a process to help them scale more, have more time. Because I realized, I'm like, you guys are making more money, but you're also spending a lot more time. And that doesn't work if the equation stays equal like that. If you make less money, you're not spending a lot of time. But if you're making more money, but you're still spending a lot of time, where's the benefit at that point?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was in 2021. I fell in love with it. I worked with a couple of clients, and I stayed with that ever since. And it's been a roller coaster. It's interesting, this space of being a systems entrepreneur, because it's not a lot of us. And, you and I were talking about that. It's not a lot of us in this space who actually talk about it and are in it, but it's entirely different. But it's a blessing. It's so much fun. People have no idea how much I can nerd out on this stuff all day.
Yes. I have to give some flowers here, because I went through the same thing, getting to the point of approaching graduation, not getting any calls. I mean, my friends, they're getting jobs like that. I mean, just back to back. Then I start getting worried. Well, I never thought that I could go to college, graduate, not have a job. That was never a possibility in my head. But unlike you, now you just jump right in to the consulting and freelancing. I was like, somebody has to hire me. And the first person that called, I was like, yep, you had me at hello. I don't care where you're located. Don't even care what you're paying. I need a job. So to see you be proactive in generating money, right? Doing something that you had got experience with in school, and even hats off to getting the experience outside of your major. Right. Like when I did an intern in school, and it was directly connected to engineering, and it was boring. Oh, my goodness. It was boring. But if I'd have had the mindset to look outside of it, or, maybe pick up on different skills while I was doing it, maybe it would have looked different. So you stumble upon marketing, you mm-hmm. realize, man, I really like this. Like, I really like it. And you get into it and you're able to bring all of this systems experience with you. Then you start to get some big results. Now, if you're anything like me, I didn't necessarily, the first time I had like a really major result was with Lead Pages. I came in, built their whole system out and was like, whoa, millions. Didn't know it could do that. Did you have a similar experience where you were like, whoa, 5X plus, didn't realize?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, so I got to tell you. Okay, so it's October 2021. Mm-hmm. I get a DM from a gentleman, and he's like, hey, you know, I heard about you. Somebody talked about you, and they said, you know, you're good at systems and whatnot. Can we talk? I'm like, sure. We talked the day before my birthday. Actually, my birthday is October 30th. So I'm like, this is interesting. I didn't plan on doing any calls or anything like that. I just wanted to relax. I'm like, let me talk to you. He tells me about his work. He's in the financial education space. And I'll give you a caveat. Usually I wouldn't really entertain that space for a variety of just personal reasons.
Yeah.
But I actually, when I looked at him deeper, I realized my mother had actually used his services. And she and my father had gotten actual results from it, like real life. They were actually able to get their car refinanced and got to a much lower rate.
Wow. That's the
only reason I actually took the call. So I was like, okay, you actually work for my parents or just regular people. So this you might actually be legit. Mm-hmm. So we're talking. He's like, yeah, I got this stuff going on. We're trying to grow. We don't know what's going on. I don't, you know, we want to find somebody who's sharp, who knows what they're doing. Da, da, da. He tells me where he really wants to go. That's the more interesting part to me. Mm. How fast he wants to go. He's well connected. So I'm like, okay, let me just look at what you got going on. He told me he had a meeting on Sunday with his whole, you know, his whole team, which at that time was just him and one other person. Mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay. I look at his process. I just do a video kind of audit. Mm-hmm. I'm just going through your stuff as I see it right now. And I'm like, marketing hat and systems and automation hat, putting them together and just pointing out a couple things that you could do better. It's a 10-minute video.
Mm-hmm.
I shoot it. I send it to him. Not like even 3 hours later, he sends me one of the longest emails I've ever gotten. He's basically saying, I can't believe you found that. We need you. I'll pay you whatever you want. I'm like, okay. I said, but I need the month. Give me my month. I said, I know you're going to need this software, and that software. Let me do my thing. Trust me, you will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get into what I exactly did for him. But I got to tell you, at the time, that month, he had only made like $15,000. The next month, there was no difference in his marketing. I want to tell y'all, no difference. He didn't run ads. He does interviews on YouTube channels, and he's just really good at picking the audiences. That's all he did. And I'm thinking like, okay, that's cool. You know, it'll probably, you know, I'm only looking for a percentage increase, a small percentage, because, you know, it's like climbing up a mountain. You improve as you go. Mm-hmm. At the end of the month, it wasn't just 80,000 in like revenue. That was cash collected.
Mm.
I know only because we had to switch payment processors in the middle of the month because the other one like got not suspended, but the PayPal does the thing where they stop after a certain, you know, amount of money. Mm. They're like, you got to stop.
Oh, yeah. We stay away from PayPal. Continue.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, I'm like, well, eventually I'll tell them about the PayPal thing because I don't think anything's going to happen.
Right.
I'm just trying to get through the month and we'll work on other stuff later. He calls me and it's like, hey, it shut down. I'm like, what do you mean we gotta do what? How much did you make? He's like, oh, we had 30,000. How'd you get 30,000?
Yeah.
That was the most incredible moment. I honestly, I'm like, did I do that? usually you think that when you break something or it's like that.
Yeah.
That was the most incredible growth I've seen.
Yeah. And it's the power of the system. And you don't know it until you experience it. For the business owner or founder, they know that feeling where it's like, whoa, it's finally working. Money's coming in, you know. And then for the implementer, we're often the last ones where, you know, you can get so heads down, like, okay, let me hook this up, let me do this. And then before you know it, you look up and you're like, oh, it's working already. I had like a list of other things. I was gonna
I didn't even get through my whole list. Because at this point, now it's like tending to the new clients that he has. And now it's a client fulfillment process that needs to be a bit more.
Yeah.
You know, it took me a while to have to go back and just try to, you know, polish up the things that I felt needed to be polished up. You know, but my client, you have no idea how many times he'll text me and he's like, the system is working. And that's all he'll say. The system is working. I love that. I'm like, it's working every day, huh? I hope it is.
Yes.
That's the system point.
Is working. That's the text that you want. So for that, you know, I know we've got limited time, but I want to just kind of dive into your mindset and your approach here, just to give proper context to those looking to repeat it as the implementer, and then those looking for it. Right? I'm sure he spread the word and was telling people, and it's like, well, look. I know I did it this time, but there's some considerations that went in place. Like, I've got to assess your business. Like, there has to be alignment. I'm not a magic wand waver and things just happen. So for you, what would you say as you looked at it were some of the things that you saw as opportunities that you could start to build on, specific to your skill set, you know?
Oh, absolutely. So the first thing is when he and I actually started working together. This is the month of November of 2021. We're working together. And I'm asking him questions. First, I want to understand what he's selling, because that tells me how I can build everything. I want to know how you're selling these people, because that tells me what you're going to need more of. So the first thing he says, okay, they buy some entry-level package, and then he books a consultation with them. And then he sells them at the end of the consultation. I'm like, okay, very familiar with that. I do that myself. So you have Zoom, you have a calendar booking system. I'm like, what's your calendar booking system? He's like, well, we kind of don't have one. That's kind of an easy one, quite frankly. That's like a
throwaway. Layup, right?
you need a calendar booking system. Great. Okay. How were you following up with the people who don't actually book a call with you? Yep. As in, you probably have people who buy it, but what emails are you sending out? What are you sending out? Texts? Are you sending out anything? He's like, well, we kind of send out stuff, but we don't really. Okay, so you need an email follow-up system, you need a workflow. And then I'm like, okay, where's actually your database? Where's that at? He says, well, I'm like, oh.
That can't be a well, not the database.
Not like that. I'm like, he's like, well, they're in PayPal. So you don't really, it's kind of on memory. He's like, yeah, it's on memory. Fair enough. I'm like, okay, you clearly need a customer relationship management system. That's the biggest thing that you need right now. And I told him that. I said, like, you need to get one. I can build out a lot of stuff in here, but you're going to have to pay for it. That's what you need. He's like, okay, great. Here's my card. Can you do it? I'm like, yes. Okay. Trust me that much. Yes. I can go ahead and buy it for you. We'll get it together.
Yep.
The first things I always look for is, where's your database? What's their selling mechanism? And then how are you following up with people? Because those are usually, to me, the three foundations of especially an online only business or a business that has a huge online component, you know, even if you're brick and mortar. Do you have a CRM? Do you have a database where all your customers can be held? And then again, the selling mechanism. So I'm very familiar with the consulting world. Most of us perform our consultations via phone or via Zoom, which is cool. But that means you need to have a way of people booking on your calendar. You're following up with them for multiple reasons, not just to book with you, but what if they don't show up? How do you get them to rebook on your calendar? right? What if you have to do a bunch of reschedules? Do you have an easy way for them to reschedule?
Yep.
And then after that, do you have a way of emailing and texting them and, you know, selling them whatever your offer is, if they buy or if they don't buy?
Yep.
And it sounds really simple, but a lot of people don't have that. And you lose out on a lot of sales. And in particular, that 10-minute audit video that I showed him, I was able to prove to him that he had like $50,000 worth of leakage just based off of what I mentioned in that video. And that's what prompted that very long email he sent me, basically saying how upset he was with himself. That and he had went to some of the, I'm not going to drop any names, but he went to some people who he spent money with, and they never really identified this for him. And that's all I'm going to say, you know, on that piece. And he was just shocked. I'm like, the video is free. You didn't have to hire me. You know, it's still there to this day if you just wanted to. Those are the first three places I look at, because they're usually somewhere in there you're missing somewhere.
Yeah. Foundational. Absolutely. Where are you storing your people? How are you selling them? How are you following up? If you can't nail those three, you can't do anything else in business reliably or consistently. Absolutely. If it's working, let me let you know, those of you who just played devil's advocate to what I just said, give it time. How about that? Yeah. Give it time. In time, all systems perform and improve, right? Mm-hmm. And a lack of systems in time get exposed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the, as we were getting to know each other more, he told me about how he did he had an in-person event that he did maybe months before he met me. Again, no CRM, no real calendar booking format, no follow-up engine working for him every single day to get either new consultation bookings or new sales for his upper level programs. He did an in-person conference. It was like a 2-day event. It was maybe about 200 people, but it was really qualified amount of people. Like everybody there was a qualified lead for him. Nice. On the dot, and he knew that. He made no sales because they had no way of following up. And the person that was supposed to do that didn't do it because she didn't have a list. I don't think they couldn't get the sign in for some reason. He was supposed to do all that. And it was just a jumble mess. And of course, you know, when you have events like that, people are really excited the day of the event. You know, they're a little bit less excited the next day, a little even more less excited by the second day after, and then by the third day, they're kind of gone. Yeah. You know, they've moved on to whoever caught that attention. And so I'm telling you, you know, he had none of this, and he was making good money. 15K is nothing to laugh at.
Yep.
But he was capped because he just didn't have the foundation. Quite frankly, he's a great salesperson. I could tell. I'm like, you know how to sell. I asked for his numbers, his closing percentages, his rates. He was able to tell me on the dots. I'm like, I know you know your numbers, but you're just missing this piece and that foundation. That's what launched.
Yeah. No, that. Oh, so many pieces in there. And this is, again, this is why I claim what I claim about engineers. We're tinkerers. We're find the holers. Whatever you want to call it, you have people who do marketing and they experience marketing. They experience results with that marketing and they kind of prescribe that way of doing it, which is nothing wrong with that. I just recorded a podcast talking about there's one size does not fit all. I get it. You're going to have different approaches and some people aren't going to have different approaches. They're going to be like, hey, look. This is what I do. This is who I work with. And these are the tools that I use. Yeah. All fine and dandy. However, when you get to a point in business where you're just scratching your head, you hit this revenue ceiling and you just can't figure it out, you're going to need a different level of a mind that can go in. And really what you're talking about, Kadira, is breakdown process.
Exactly.
What I was listening for when you were talking is every question about technology was preceded with a understanding of the process.
Exactly.
Right? You didn't just go in and say, hey, buy these tools. You took the time to go on to understand the process. Now, if you're a listener to the podcast, you know how I feel about process. You, Kadira, what would you say is the importance of taking such an approach of approach of process before technology?
You know, when you're building a house, mm-hmm. before you buy all the supplies, you have to get the actual blueprint. And before you can get the blueprint, you have to know what the person wants. Yes. And so that's my mindset with everything. I first ask anybody who, you know, is interested in like a one-on-one private thing with consultation with me or help, whatever. I'm asking them, what do you really want? Where do you see yourself? What's the vision? Because I need to be aligned with that. I need to understand it, because that'll tell me everything I need to know when it comes to the tools, the hammers, the nails for the house. That's easy. Go to Home Depot, you get the right hammer, you get the right nail, you get the right whatever. I don't know. I don't fix anything, but you get the right tools for the job, but you don't get the tools before you understand what the job entails and what's the real vision. And so I focus on the vision, understanding that I'm aligned with that and that I understand it. I don't need to always be in love with it, you know, but it helps for me to be in love with it, for me to really be attached to it. But I at least need to understand it. Then I need to look at what you're already doing. And I kind of pick out like what's already going well for you. What are your strengths? Where are you strong at? For this client in particular, very strong in sales. Very strong in sales. He didn't need any mechanisms to help him better at selling. His close rates were phenomenal. I've never seen somebody that high and actually be legitimate. I follow those numbers to this day, and he stuck with them. I'm like, one day you need to teach me how to do that, because that's incredible. But all the follow-up stuff, he had no process for that. I'm like, you have no way of doing that, so I know what you're missing. And then the other thing is, you never just get tech. And this is something that marketers, anybody in tech can kind of struggle with, is when you get tech that you like and you know how to use and it works for you because you have your mindset.
Yeah.
You can't do that with every client. I don't suggest the same tools for every client if a client isn't as tech inclined, which a lot of them aren't. Like, you don't have to be me tech inclined. I'm not the basis of the comparison. But I mean, like, in general, if I meet somebody that's like not at all, like they wouldn't touch a computer if they didn't have to, I gotta get them the basic of the basic, and I, you know, that's their answer. If somebody's kind of used to it, then I can do a little, you know, I can choose a technology that offers a few more bells and whistles that'll ultimately help them. Because again, we're not just getting tech because it sounds cool. We're getting it because it helps.
Yeah.
But I have to understand what their current process is. I have to understand how they think. I have to understand what their core competencies are. And then that'll tell me what's the real big picture of this puzzle box.
Yep.
And then from there, we'll dump the puzzle pieces out. And while the client looks at it and they're like, oh my God, I look at it and I'm like, okay, let me get the corners. Boom. Let's get the perimeter. Boom. Pull in. Let's match it. Okay. This looks like it might be over here. I mean, I can work out anything at that point.
Yeah.
But I got to get the big picture. And I think that's where even a lot of tech inclined individuals, engineers, marketers, you know, we want to start at the end, and that's the cool part. But it's not going to help, you know, because you don't really know what they want and you don't know what's going to be sustainable for them. That's a real thing with me. Can this last without me? Can I just record for you a couple of videos, standard operating procedures, do a couple of trainings with you, have, you know, some service, you know, for 30, 60, 90 days after I'm gone, and will nothing catch on fire? You'll be fine and everything will keep working. That's always my thought process. I don't care if it even if it takes me a little bit longer to implement because the tech isn't my favorite, you know, but I know it's in the best interest of the client for them long term that they use this thing other than what may be my favorite.
Yep. Yeah, you mentioned once you understand the vision, once you get the picture, it's all about putting it together, the edge pieces, the corners and all of that, and working to make the puzzle look as vision was casted, right? And we'll make the adjustments that they can't see that need to be made and all of that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about that back end piecing it together, right?
Yeah.
And the reason being is because there is a bit of a fallacy out here, because we're in the no code age and things are, in terms of tech, are becoming easier and easier. I'm using air quotes for all of you listening, easier and easier. But the truth of the matter is, if you're doing basic things now, and you're a Zapier workflow specialist, if you're doing basic things in like Zapier passing name and email, it's okay, right? You can get away with that. But just speak to, as data gets more complex and processes become a little more intricate, how that back end, though it may still be using Zapier or Zapier or Make or whatever, how that can easily become unmanageable for the non-technical inclined to handle properly.
Oh yeah, this is where I personally get myself in trouble, because I love Zapier. You have no idea how many like 30 step zaps I have with filters and if and statements and all that, you know, for me. But I have to stop myself from doing that with clients. It becomes, as you scale and as you grow and you have more individuals and you have more team members and you have more clients and customers and people like leaning on you and everything gets bigger, that's when you have to learn how to make things a lot simpler, because data does get mismanaged. Zapier does not work all the time. It messes up. There are things that are did not realize my laptop was gonna die. There are things that are that mess up and the whole zap stops. Mm-hmm. And it can't move forward. And then all of a sudden you get an email saying nothing's working. And I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, because the data looked different now and I forgot to update the zap and I forgot to do this. And now it doesn't make sense to have everything in one setup. You really need to have it chunked out, so that way troubleshooting is a lot easier. When it gets to that point, you do need to consider, how do you separate things into more manageable boxes? Mm-hmm. Instead of having one huge container where everything's just kind of piled in, can you separate this and can you chunk this out? Is Zapier still a needed app? Is there any way, even if it means you have to integrate into a whole different software, but maybe it has a better integration with another piece of software and therefore makes the whole workflow a lot simpler? That's where you have to consider that.
Yeah.
You do have to. Sometimes I gotta cut Zapier out, because it's like it's too much. And I can tell my client, we gotta move from this app to this app, because it integrates a lot better with this other app.
Mm-hmm.
Your data's gonna flow easier. We can cut out Zapier. Technically, you'll save money. It's gonna take me time. It's gonna take us time for the transition, but it's gonna be a lot easier. You're gonna be able to scale more fluidly. A lot of times you'll have to bring in another, sometimes I need another set of eyes for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I love the tech. But when you get so into it, you get heads down, you're focused, but then that's all you end up seeing. You can't see the forest for the trees. And it takes one of my own team members to say, well, Kadir, I know you built out this 30-something step Zapier workflow. You're very proud of it, but it's going to get stuck here a lot.
Mm-hmm.
sometimes the data doesn't flow in the same every single time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know, when you're at that level, you don't have time for that. I mean, quite frankly, you just don't have time for that. So maybe we got to figure out another workaround. Maybe we have to make sure it goes through a formatter. Maybe it has to go through Google Sheets real quick. Let the app, let the sheet itself, you know, with the formulas in there, actually create data that can then be formed into Xavier. Yes, it's an extra step, but it's going to work a lot better. Yep. This is the importance of having sustainability and scalability in mind when you're building out any process. Yeah. And I'm very specific. It's not just scalability, it's sustainability. Because it needs to be able to sustain itself. It needs to be able to maintain itself without breaking every time. A lot of people can build stuff to scale. You can make a lot more money, but if you're ending up having to troubleshoot a lot of stuff, you end up spending the money that you made in time in fixing. Yeah. And if you're not as tech inclined as somebody like myself, and you're using Zapier yourself, and you're building out all these apps, and now you have 100 of them in the home folder, because you don't build out folders, and you don't have anything titled the way it needs to be, you just use the automatic title Zapier gives you. I'm sorry, that's a little pet peeve of mine. It was a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Shady. You know, I'm not going to harp on it, but it is a pet peeve of mine to use the one they give you. You know, if you have nothing named, basically, you have no organization, it's going to be very difficult for you to troubleshoot and figure out where everything started from and how to really fix it for the long term versus just like fixing, you know, something small, but it's actually a bigger problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For those of you listening, I share the same pet peeve, naming conventions. I've got an entire podcast on it. Go listen to that podcast and start naming your things accordingly. Let me say this. I've come a mighty long way. I remember there used to be a time where I was the keyboard banger type person where you just put some in real quick to keep going. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I was that person. Like I would never, oh my God, I would cringe if I saw somebody with a tag name, ASDFJKH. And it's just like, oh, I just created that to see what this is going to do. No. Go back right now. Sit down and name that thing. You know,
it's so important. It comes from my coding days, definitely.
Yep.
That is definitely from my coding days because when I took some boot camp or something later on, and they taught us about naming conventions a little more deliberately than I ever did when I just kind of was self-taught.
Yeah.
And then when I was self-taught, I was just whatever that HTML, whatever that CSS, I just want to see if it works. That's it. Yep. Whatever that JS, you know, Bootstrap, and it was the thing when I was using it, which amazing to say that. I don't know, it sounds like the old days, but I'm like, that was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, naming conventions from my coding days, I have stuck to it. Anybody who looks at my computer, they are always amazed at how organized every folder is.
Yep.
And every folder in a folder. And the folders in a folder in a folder.
Yep. It's got to be. Again, people, the reason why I like to have people like Kadira on here. So by the way, I didn't plant any of this. I did not prime Kadira. This is all her own knowledge, approach, and insight. What I'm saying, though, is there's more than meets the eye. I get it. It's sexy. Hey, I'm going to go sign up for this tool, and they say I can do it. Some of you should not touch the back end of your business ever. Like, ever. Just get it out of your mind. Stay from back there. Never go in the kitchen. You just stay in the front, greet people, and agree on how great the food tastes. That's it. Don't ever go back. You will burn something. You'll break something. You'll burn the house down. So it's always good to get insight on something that, you know, maybe you think it's simple as, oh, yeah, I'll just set up a Zap and do that. No. There's always, when you start to tie these pieces together, as an integration specialist, it's always something. It's like you mentioned a house, Kadira. Very rarely now, I do a lot of repair, unfortunately. I try to hire people to do it, but every now and then it's like, dang it, I got to get my tools out and do it. And even when the experts come over, they'll start, hey, you need a light? Like, yeah, sir, we just need a light right there. and they'll get to cutting out the ceiling. And before you know it, they hit something. And it's like, what was that? I don't know why they will put a beam right here. So now we're going to have to cut around it. More than meets the eye. It happens in the technical space all the time when you're building out systems. So, yes, I can't thank you enough for sharing that insight. This is the type of stuff. This is the back end. This is the behind the scenes, everybody. When you see somebody say, you know, I 3X'd, 5X'd, 10X'd my income. They may have I don't believe anything, but if they did, I want to go see the back end, because how the back end is built is going to tell me, was that a one-time thing that's about to break or already broke? And they just took a snapshot of the highlight. And to Kadira's point, it's sustainability. Okay, you did it. Is it sustainable? You'd be surprised at how many people make their money, realize that the ship is a little wobbly, and they jump out and swim to shore in their new boat, their new small boat that can only fit them that they paid for with the new money that was generated. So Kadira, I can't thank you enough for that.
Oh, absolutely. And that is, I gotta say, I'm skeptical at everything. I mean, as somebody who was in the marketing world, still am, but in a different capacity, mm-hmm. You know, I got used to all the marketers selling marketers and all the 10X, 20, 50, 99, you know, all these crazy numbers. And I'm like, but are you just, you know, how many times did you do that? And thankfully, I've been able to teach my clients about that too, because then they'll tell me, well, this person got, you know, this 13X result. And I said, how many times did they do that? Where are they at right now?
Yep. How long did it last?
you know that? Well, no, I just saw the ad. I know you saw the ad. The ad was very nice. It was very sexy. It was very good looking and all that good stuff. But there's no sustainability in that. Yep. And to this particular client I've been talking about, to his credit, he asked me to stay on as his chief systems officer because he knew the only way he was going to really be able to keep on growing, not just because it's no fun just having, it sounds weird for me to say, but it's no fun just having an 80K month. And then that's it. You know, you have nothing else. Sure, he had a great month, but he had sustainability and rapid growth. Mm-hmm. And I was like, look, if you want rapid growth like that, you're going to need more than just me and the other person that you got. Yeah. I was like, you're going to need 1, 2, 3, 4. You're going to need a social media person. You're going to you want to do travel stuff. You're going to need a travel person. So I don't even know their names, but I know that's a person. I said, and you're going to need more salespeople. I said, I guarantee you. You're going to need more salespeople before the end of the year.
I'm so glad you said that, because I want everybody, if you haven't listened to the previous episode of this called Kill the Imposter, How to Kill the Imposter, because that's it. You really summed it up right there, is understanding, hey, look, I can build a system. It's going to take more. It's going to take more than me. And that's okay. So these are, again, from those of you listening to hiring somebody, these are the things that you're looking for. This is, have you ever thought when you're talking to a marketer to ask them, how are their folders organized? Because how their folders are organized in name is how your folders are going to be organized today. These are the small things though, right, Kadira, that a lot of times we do without thinking. Like for me, my entire desktop is automated. I've got this app that runs and says, hey, screenshot's been here for over 24 hours and you haven't opened it. I'm just going to move it into this folder. So I look so organized and I know exactly what folder is going into. I put a little color on it and it's all color. Anyways, we can go down the line.
We can nerd out for days, but I see the same way. I mean, quite frankly, I've had the whole folders thing since even high school. Wow, this just made me think about this. I had my entire college career mapped out before I set foot on campus. I knew exactly. This is when, albeit, this is when I thought I was doing photography. But I looked at the majors. I was like, I might do this minor. I looked at the rules. I mean, I'm telling you, I read them. Yeah. I read the rules of like some, you know, how you can do a class, like pass, fail. Because I had to do one of those, what are they called? Just the general stuff that I didn't care about. You know, I did it and I presented it to my advisors. I said, I'm doing this. They told me I had to come here, but this is what I'm doing.
And they it's a different like, type of brain.
It's on a whole different level. I have a whole routine every single day of the week, just at home, in my regular personal life. And I hate when people try to interrupt me from the routine.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me, even down to my friends. They'll try to call me and they'll be mad. Like, how come you didn't answer me earlier? I said, I was in the middle.
Hey, listen, this is my block of time.
Yeah, I was like, I had this time blocked out, you know, and you trying to interrupt. I love you, but I need to do this thing. You know, it's how our minds work. Everything is a process, and you consider the process before you consider like anything else.
Yep.
I'm always like, how was this? What's the step? 1, 2, 3, 4. I need to know that, you know, because it's very linear and it feels very, it's very comfortable, honestly.
Yep. Yes, you need these types of brains in your business, everyone. So, Kadira, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. If people want to find out more about you, connect with you, hire you, whatever the case may be, what's the best place for them to go?
Oh, absolutely. If you all want to visit me, you can go to succeedingwithsystems.com. That's systems with an S at the end. When you get to the site, we have a couple freebies there. You can actually download what I call the 6-figure low-tech guide. This is especially good for my startup entrepreneurs. I'm not going to throw at you like the really high-priced stuff. That's for a different level. I want to give you something that you can actually use, and I actually tell you why you should consider them. What are the use cases? It's actually very in-depth, and I'm still kind of adding more to it because it can never be more perfect. But if you want to go look at it, it's only on the first page of succeedingwithsystems.com.
Succeedingwithsystems.com, plural. It's on the screen for everybody on YouTube. If you're listening, type that in as you're not driving, as you're at your desk or at home. Don't worry. The link is also in the show notes if you missed it. Kadira, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. It's greatly appreciated.
Oh, I love being here, you know, and I look forward to us working. And honestly, I hope you all take this information, and that's been extremely valuable and helpful.
Yes, yes, absolutely. What she said. So again, thank you. I'll see you online, Kadir.
Absolutely. Bye. All right.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the All Systems Go podcast. If you enjoyed it, make sure that you're subscribed. At the time of recording, the All Systems Go podcast is free to subscribe to, and it can be found in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes are released every Thursday, so make sure you're subscribed so that you don't miss out. And while you're at it, please leave us a 5-star rating and review to show some love, but also to help future listeners more easily find the podcast so they can experience the value and goodness as well. We've compiled all resources mentioned on the podcast, as well as other resources that are extremely valuable and effective at helping you grow your marketing automation skills quickly, and you can access them all at allsystemsgopodcast.com. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.